Hey folks, how's it going? My name is Austin Williams, and this is Relevant Tones. We have the pleasure of having Dr. Futing on the show today. Dr. Futing is a champion in composition and theory and all these lovely things, and I am so happy I had the opportunity to speak with him. And more poignantly, we get to speak with him about this album, which then kind of digresses into a larger topic of postmodernity and Dr. Futing's larger conceptual ideas on how we can almost reclaim some music and some ideas that have already been around. And I won't spoil too much before we jump into it. But we've heard a section of the piece Broken Song, which is what his recent album is named after. And we will speak more deliberately about that throughout the interview. Before I ramble much more, here's us talking about a lot of different things. I hope you enjoy.
So my name is Reiko Futing. I am originally from Germany. I was born in 1970 in East Berlin. I left Germany to go to school. I came to Houston, Texas to study at Rice and then subsequently at Manhattan School of Music in New York, where I now teach. I also spent a semester in South Korea at Seoul National University. My first teaching gig was as a vocal accompanist, but I've been teaching composition and theory ever since I came to MSM in 2000. I live just north of New York, and thank you so much for the time with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for making the time. I mentioned this before we kind of got going here, but I'm a huge fan of your works, your writings, all your stuff that you work on. So it was kind of a treat to have you be a guest on the show with me. What brought us here was a press release from your recent album, Broken Song, came across my email. And first of all, congratulations on the album. It's really lovely. And I felt all the works on it were just terribly compelling and kind of not what I was expecting in some lovely ways. So it was refreshing in that regard. So I think a through line, and I was hoping you can maybe speak on this, in a lot of your music is kind of this postmodern thought of taking old practices or, you know, and implementing them into new music. And I'd love if you could speak on that and probably school me on it a little bit, because I think I maybe oversimplified it a little bit, but that's what I hear when I listen to your music.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And let's see how much I will talk about it. Please stop me anytime, because there's a lot of aspects that come together. Yeah. Maybe to start in a simple way, I often thought about what it means to compose, but also what it means to hear music or listen to music or perceive music or experience music. And a very influential thinker for me is Helmut Lachenmann, the German composer. He's also a big influence in terms of his music, but also in terms of how he thinks about music. And I have a collection of his essays that was published many years ago called Music as an Existential Experience. Mm. And I've been thinking about what that actually means. So for once, like he says that we actually experience music besides that we listen to it and hear it and perceive it and so forth. But it becomes an experience, but this notion of an existential experience I find very interesting. And I've been thinking what that actually means for me. And for me, the most existential experience that we have is the experience of time. Simply the fact that we're conscious and aware that we exist, and that we exist in time and space, and that the time that we have in our human existence is also a limited amount of time that we shape through the decisions and the choices we make when we live. I find really interesting the moment we talk about time, it's not only that it's a physical entity, but it's also an intellectual construct. Mm. The notion that we can travel in time through memory, anticipation, and imagination, I find in general very interesting. And that psychological aspect of time that's been in music ever since, I would say, Debussy and Stravinsky is also really fascinating to me. So once it comes down to that, I'm really interested in the past. And the notion that I'm really interested in the past, and that's now a second kind of influence, might simply have to do with the fact that I come from a country that has a very complex past, to put it mildly, but also that I don't live in this country anymore. So the notion of, yeah, identity, but also the relationship to the culture that I was raised in, the troubling past of this culture, specifically between 1933 and 45, that I think about and deal with quite frequently, if not on a daily basis. And this whole notion of how we actually constantly engage with the past in order to inform our present, to what extent that actually exists, but also possibly a future, I find very interesting. And musically, in that regard, I was basically dealing with quotations. So dealing with music that already exists. And I find it absolutely fascinating. A third aspect in that regard might have to do with what we define as originality. Here, a very important essay or article to me is Walter Benjamin's essay, The Work of Art in the Time of Its Technological Reproduction. How now that we have different techniques of being artistically creative and active, also he thinks we have to redefine what it actually means. And I think originality is one of these aspects. I feel that everything already exists, everything has been done, but how we approach it, how we combine things, how we arrange it, that's something that constantly being redefined, and that's what originality means. So I love starting with something that exists as opposed to starting from scratch.
Back to the temporal aspect of it. I always find that interesting, composers that are focused on memory and the temporal space in music, because there is that aspect where we have a history, right, with the music, and that goes back. But our art form, it also exists on a temporal plane at the same time. We experience it temporally as we listen to it. So that those two things happening, you know, simultaneously, and then another layer on top of that is this idea of like recorded music as well. And, you know, when that music was recorded and then, you know, pushed into the future, you are taking a glimpse of that, you know, temporal space, and it lives, you know, forever in that space. And it's just fascinating to me. Cool for me to hear you speak about your philosophy based on that. And then your third point you made about the originality of music and how we've kind of, you believe that we've kind of done everything we can, or we've kind of exhausted the ideas. Can you maybe speak on that a little bit more, just in general?
Yeah, so I mean, it then comes down to the point what we consider to be an idea, but I have to say, for me, it's more a constant return of ideas. Since they return, they're never going to be in the same place anyways, because certain aspects also simply change over time. So it's more like a return to a transformed space. But I find it really interesting that, yeah, the basic ideas that we're dealing with are basic human ideas. So we've been dealing with them as humans for a very long time, and they're then kind of colored by the different aspects of life that we experience, of course, differently than people in the past because of technology and so forth and so forth. But I also find the idea as such that there's a certain religious component to the creation of art by starting from scratch and making something out of nothing is something that doesn't really resonate very well with me. I think to create is always to respond to something, that there's already a given situation that you respond to in your own way that's informed, of course, by many aspects. And this notion of it being more like a response and therefore dealing with a condition and something concrete is something that I find much more sympathetic in that regard.
Yeah, I think that a lot of artists fall into the trap of thinking that they need to be, it's not even originality, but I think you, what you said is it's this idea of creating something from nothing, or, you know, having it be a response, having it be a reference. And what does that mean? What context are we placing our music or our art against the larger zeitgeist or ethos that's occurring around us? And that's a really important thing to remember as artists, as we create and continue to kind of shape aspects of culture in a way.
Well, I completely agree, because then we think about what it means literally to be an artist in the time that we live in. And this notion of relevancy, if that what we do is like highly related to the context in which we live, I find extremely important. Yeah. That has also to do, just like, again, coming back to the history of Germany, but then the notion of that art at some point existed for its own sake. The idea of art being a cult of itself, as Walter Benjamin writes, and this complete disconnection from art, from society, but also how it then could not just be used, but also abused, as one could see during the totalitarian regimes in the 20th century, is something that I find still extremely interesting and also quite important to deal with, because ever since, art just has a different meaning and status.
Thank you. So maybe we can speak about your current album a little bit. It was really refreshing to, you know, I started listening to it, and the first thing I heard was this choir singing in Species Counterpoint. And it's just not, you know, when I get a new music album across my, you know, emails, it's just not what I was expecting. So kind of a whiplash in a way, but. And as I continued to listen to it, it was really, you know, really interesting. And it was the first three tracks on the album that I think really drew me in. The way you framed it with the choral piece, followed by the solo piano piece, followed up by another choral piece. Maybe we can start with talking about the text you chose, or the what you're maybe referencing within those choral works, and how you chose to kind of manipulate them as well.
Yeah, I realized that's something that I should have probably tried to do, to also include the English translation of the poetry in the booklet. Mm. It's pretty difficult to translate poetry, and I would say in the specific case, maybe even impossible. But I always work with a poet who is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Her name is Kathleen Furtman. We went to high school together, and I went to a choir high school. So we actually sang also in a choir for some time when we were in school. And what I ask her to do is to write poetry that also specifically responds to the lyrics of the choral piece that I musically respond to. So these responses happen on different layers simultaneously. And it's wonderful to work with her because she's very much open to the general artistic idea that I have when it comes down to a project, and also very much open to revising them once I see the words, because to me, the words already are a musical structure that try to enhance or respond to in different kind of ways. So there's this constant communication that happens between what happens right now and what happened in the past. But there are these layers that, of course, once you don't speak German and don't have the English translation, don't become quite as obvious as the musical ones.
Sure. The conceit and the emotion that I felt during the choral works, I mean, it came across as, you know, obviously reference, but, you know, there's a subdued nature to it as well, maybe some solemnness. But I liked, especially in the first track, the progression of kind of manipulating the music, you know, further and further, maybe from its original reference. And by the end, we're getting into some really interesting textural areas compositionally. Maybe could you speak on that progression throughout the piece that we're hearing, and how you chose to like make those changes, or what they meant to you?
In general, what I'm really interested in is to create exactly what you just described, which is different degrees of distance to the original source material. I used to be more interested in the progression that you just described, so as if one travels away from something but never completely loses sight. I'm right now a little less interested in that because I'm more interested in nonlinear structures where you basically have that space that's based on different degrees of distances to a certain original idea. Mm-hmm. But you can navigate through the space quite freely. So you could be very close to it and at the same time very far from it right after.
Und alle Stellen.
But it's basically a space that one composes by different degrees of to what degree the original material got processed, and then you navigate through that space. And that's in itself also composition, because then you compose literally the space that one experiences when we listen to a piece of music, which is always, among other things, also a linear process. It's also so interesting that you mentioned orchestration, because I actually feel orchestration is really composition, and that orchestrating means reinterpreting an idea in a different context through a different medium. And that also means then redefining the ideas and the mechanical process. And to me, actually, the processing of material is often simply a process of orchestrating them.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that for a little bit. So, I mean, do you think that's more of a... not a cultural shift, but like a historical shift of like what's available instrumentally or technology as we, you know, in the current day and age, when we think of like, you know, the orchestra as it is, you know, that is such a wide range of instruments that you could apply to that, right? You know?
Right. But if you think about orchestration as a concept as such, then it could be applied to any other kind of different mediums as well. And I always find the terminology that we use quite interesting, because one can orchestrate a piano piece for orchestra, but one can, at least in the English language, also orchestrate a crime. So like at the end, orchestration really means that you navigate a lot of different elements at the same time. I used to teach orchestration at Manhattan School of Music, and I asked students to orchestrate a piece, a piano piece for piano. So it doesn't have to be an orchestration for orchestra. Mm-hmm. It can be for kind of medium. At the end, it means that you reinterpret the sound and that you redefine it in a different kind of context. And that usually means that you expand the space of that sound. And that can be done with so many different ways. And I could actually also see the option of orchestrating an orchestra piece for piano. So even a reduction could be a conceptual expansion. And I love thinking about these kind of ideas.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes back to context, right? And I think that that's something that I also really believe is, you know, all music that we listen to is based on the context and when we're listening to it, how we're listening to it, all these things. So the title track of the album, Broken Song, I think is a great example of this, because you have this piano that's, you know, that like it's funny. So it goes through the first track and then the second track, and you hear this really like hollow piano sound. And that's when in my head I'm like, okay, new music, you know, we have these, like canon, you know, things that we tend to associate to it. But that aside, it but you contextualize it again with the species counterpoint within the within the piece, and then you're going in and out of these, I would call it like new textures and maybe traditional textures, and but it works so seamlessly and so well, but I think that it's achieved so effectively through the context in which you lay it out in.
I was trying to create a counterpoint of different layers of time.
Yeah.
that, you know, very more recent sounds could seamlessly coexist with sounds that have been around for a much longer time. And this kind of pluralism of a space that allows us to experience quite different things in a very similar way, or maybe therefore also allow us to hear more familiar sounds in a new way and maybe less familiar sounds in a more familiar way. I find in general very interesting because it's also something that personally I highly relate to society. Yeah. Like the note of us being able to see something familiar, even though the surface is not. So to go beyond the surface, but also to find something new or different and something that we've been around with for a long time. I think that's a task that goes way beyond music. But even within music, I mean, why listening to a Beethoven symphony over and over and over again? And it is, as you say, the context that allows us to experience these pieces differently. And I think that's also a responsibility that we as artists have.
I think it's a cultural thing as well. What we deem to be, you know, art or music or, you know, whatever it may be, and then do we decide to repeat or create that as part of the canon? Because I think there's a lot of arguments to be made for, like, well, you know, what is art? Could, you know, or what is an artistic listening experience? Is it meaningfully walking through, you know, a park and, you know, hearing things? Or, like you mentioned, is it going to see Beethoven, you know, the same symphony a few times over? I think there's arguments to be made for both, but it really depends on the individual and how they want to contextualize that experience ultimately.
I completely agree, but not only contextualize, but then also recontextualize. Mm. So have certain experiences, again, that it doesn't become a mechanical experience, but that you make it alive by constantly recontextualizing everything. Mm. And that's, of course, that requires effort and energy and work in the best sense. But I think that's beautiful because that reminds us that we're still alive if we are able to do these kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing. You know, we listen to, you know, pop music or things that aren't concert music. And the argument is that it all sounds the same or whatever. But I think there's arguments to be made of that we're making now of, well, maybe if you recontextualize something that might sound similar, or we recontextualize, you know, stuff that isn't, you know, high art or whatever, it could have a new meaning. You know, there's these possibilities everywhere, in so many different ways that we listen to and consume, you know, different varieties of art.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so interesting and fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, I mean, we got into the real meat of it pretty quick there. So thank you. Is there anything specifically that you wanted to mention related to this album, or maybe a topic we didn't quite get to that you'd like to speak on?
Yeah, I mean, what you just mentioned at the end is something that I think about quite a bit. Lachenmann wrote this essay about the philosophy of composition. And he lists certain elements and aspects which are important for him in specific, which I can really relate to, because more and more I feel as I get older that artists have a responsibility. He calls it specifically in the article responsibility towards society. And that's something that I think about quite a bit, that of course what we do has to be also independent of it, and it has to create its own space, but it shouldn't be completely disconnected from the world that we experience on a daily way, whether we like read the news or watch the news, or just like walk around the city and the things that we see, and as they're changing and as they're not changing and so forth. And what art and artists can actually do in order to deal with the society as we experience it, and feel that we also have a certain kind of responsibility. And that's something that I find quite interesting, because there's so many general issues that society has to deal with. And I can see that as artists, sometimes we can feel that, well, what can we do? But I actually feel that art is extremely powerful, because it has the possibility of recontextualizing something idealistically in a space that is just very special, because it works on its own terms, in that it wants to create a transcendental experience, and which I think is part of the artistic experience. Yeah. And just to act as an artist, to do things, to write music, to perform music, to organize concerts, to organize a podcast and share it, I think that always makes a difference. And I think that's wonderful. And artists should not forget how inspirational that can be, and therefore also how much impact that it can actually have.
I mean, thank you for the optimism. I think that it's not super common these days, but no, that's so lovely to hear. I don't know, just like you said, the positive impact that art can have. And I think you're right. It is the job of artists to recontextualize some of these things that we experience in a meaningful way to how we're, you know, experiencing and living life currently.
As I said earlier, like, music happens in time, and since it happens in time, it's transient.
Yeah.
But at the end, so is the society that we experience, and so is life, right? Things constantly change. And we should enjoy that. We should really celebrate the fact that we always have to redefine our relationships with our environment, and to be constantly experience something else and new, and are able to learn, and that things come and things go, and that's like the essence of it. And I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing really, nothing's here forever. But then also we always, you know, it's kind of a feedback loop, because like things come and go, but also we have a history of things that we can constantly go back to, reference and recontextualize. And then it just kind of creates this living organism in a way, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for everything you just shared. It's so enlightening to hear you speak about it. You know, again, it's been great chatting with you.
Thank you so much for your interest. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. What an absolute pleasure it was to speak with Dr. Futing, not only about this work, but just all of the larger, broader concepts that we got to speak on. I've been a longtime fan and enjoyer of his theoretical papers and his compositions, and it's really cool to see that the practice of the theory meets the composition, and then having an even larger in-depth conversation about that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in more of Dr. Futing's works, please do check out his website. He has a bunch of stuff on there, including his articles and essays, and along with his works, of course. So please, if you're interested, go check out more of that. And this is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks.